turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, if you will. Luke chapter 2, and then find verse number 8. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Then stand with me once you've found Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And I'm going to read a handful of verses here to us. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made it known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Meet with us. God, help us tonight to help ourselves to be properly focused about this matter of Christmas and this month of December, which there's an awful lot of excitement about the holiday, but might it be celebrated properly? And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. My sermon tonight will be very practical, very down to earth. You won't hear anything that you've not heard before, but I think it needs to be said year after year after year. I call the sermon, "Is Jesus on your Christmas list or on your gift list?" We know that an angel came by way of God and told a lady by the name of Mary that she would give birth to the Christ child, God's son. Joseph and Mary then find themselves on their way to Bethlehem to be taxed. While they're there, Mary, who is carrying that baby, she goes into labor. They couldn't get a room in the inn, so they were given permission to use a manger, and then she would give birth to that baby in that manger. The Bible tells us at the very same time, in that very same country, some shepherds were keeping watch over their flocks, and they were watching them by night, and an angel appears to them and tells them of the coming birth of Jesus Christ. The shepherds follow a star, and they find that manger, and they find baby Jesus. There were also some wise men from the east that followed the star and found that manger. And on a very blessed day, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was born. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes. They placed him there in that manger. The Bible says, and an angel, along with a heavenly host, they cheered or sang or praised God at his birth. Now, that is the story of the birth of the Christ child in its simplest form. How Christmas developed into what it has become today, I'm not real sure. What I just described to you is what Christmas was and is really all about. Jesus was the focal point of Christmas. And so you all know, and I just want to remind you, in just a few days it will be December, and I want to remind you now so that we properly go into this season of the year. He is the reason for this season. It's all about Jesus Christ. And I call the sermon, is Jesus on your gift list or is Jesus on your Christmas list? Let me see if I could kind of put this into proper perspective for you. Can you imagine going to a high school graduation and you being the graduate but not being given a diploma? You would say, something not right here. I'm the graduate. I'm supposed to receive my diploma. If you went to a wedding and you were the bride, but the groom decided not to give you a ring. Now, that would be a bummer. That could cause a divorce right then and there. Ladies look forward to that ring. Let's say that you had ran in a race or you had competed in the Olympics and you won. And you were deemed the fastest man, the fastest woman on the face of the earth. And it was award time. But they didn't give you that gold medal. You'd say, there's something wrong with that. If you were in the military and had served God in a served your country in a unique and a powerful way, but there were no medals, no silver star, no purple heart, you would say there's something not right with that. If you were a basketball a winner of the NBA tournament, but that they didn't have it, you know, at the end of a tournament they'll cut down the net and they let that net go to the winning team and maybe the captain of the team or the coach of the team. But if we didn't cut that net down, you'd say that there's something missing here. If you won the Super Bowl, but they gave you no Super Bowl ring, you were the baseball champion, but you didn't get the trophy. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you won the Indy 500, but you didn't get to drive into the winner's circle and get your prize? What would it be like if we said to all of you, we're going to have a birthday party for you. It's going to be big. We're going to talk about it for 3 or 4 weeks ahead of time. We are going to put it on national television. Everybody is going to decorate their home. And they're going to decorate the streets of all the cities. And this birthday party is going to be a big deal. I mean, they're going to advertise and they're going to sing songs all about the party. And then you're the birthday boy and you show up. And they don't do one thing for you. You would say, there's something wrong with that. Do you see how wrong Christmas has become? I love the Christmas season. I love it. I love the Christmas season. And I think we ought to take advantage of it. Let's get everything out of it that we can. But you and I, as born again Christians, there are some things about this part of the year that we ought to be careful of. You know, I said earlier today, I don't think we ought to let the devil steal from us Resurrection Sunday or Easter Sunday. And I don't think that we ought to allow the devil steal from us Thanksgiving. See, they want to call it Turkey Day. I want to call it Thanksgiving. They want to talk about the Easter Bunny. I want to talk about the resurrected Savior. And then we come to this time of the year where it's Christmas time. And they want to talk about Santa Claus. And the truth of the matter is, Santa Claus didn't die for your sins. It is Jesus Christ. And this time of the year, it's not all about Santa. Now, I'm not mad at Santa. I'm not going to take a gun out and shoot him. But he wanted to be careful coming in my yard. But at the same time, let me say to you, let's make sure we do keep Christ in Christmas. Now, I've said this for years, and I'd throw a fit about it. I don't think now at our house we wouldn't allow anything to hang or any paper to be used that says Xmas, because all they're doing is crossing Christ right out of Christmas, and he is what it's really all about. Let me just remind all of us of some things that you already know. Let's work at it as Christians. Our testimonies, I think, are important. I don't think you ought to be the Scrooge that doesn't like Christmas. Let's take advantage of celebrating the birth of Christ, but let's just do it the right way. For instance, might I say, number one, I think the wise men had the right idea. Let me read to you from Matthew chapter 2. It says, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw it in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was, in reference to Jesus. When they saw the star, they rejoiced, and they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Folks, if this is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, if we're going to give, it's okay to give to each other. Matter of fact, I think he likes that. But I really think we ought to be thinking about, is there something that we ought to give to the Savior? It's his birthday. They gave to the Savior. Now, I happen to know this. I happen to know that Jesus, I think he likes the fact that we give gifts. He likes that. I mean, he's the great giver. He's the example of giving. And I don't think he minds that we have gifts and we we exchange some gifts at Christmas time, but I think you and I ought to insist that the birthday boy get something from us somewhere along the way. Here, the Bible says that these men that came, they fell down, they worshiped him, and that they gave frankincense, and they gave myrrh, and they gave him treasures. And here's the issue. He was the center of attention. It wasn't the wise men. It was Jesus. He was the center of attention. It was not the manger. No, it was Jesus. He was the center of attention. It was not the shepherds. It was Jesus. He was the center of attention. It was not Mary, nor was it Joseph. It was Jesus. He was the center of attention. And if you and I, as Christians, are going to celebrate this Christmas time properly, then we need to keep Jesus as the center attraction. He is what it's really all about. The wise men, they gave up time to celebrate the birth of Christ. I think they gave up some time at home. Folks, listen, it's Christmas time, and I think we all love home and we all love family. But in this story, these wise men, they went out and did something for Jesus, and they left the comfort and the warmth of their home and went out and did something in honor of the Christ child. Mary focused on Jesus. Joseph focused on Jesus. The wise men focused on Jesus. The shepherds focused on Jesus. The men from the east, some think they were kings or they're men of power, they focused on Jesus Christ. What were they doing? They were all sacrificing of themselves in honor of the birth of the Christ child. And remember, this is not Xmas. This is all about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the whole reason for this entire season. And it is very sad. This is turned into a money-making time. And, you know, it's sad because they used to capitalize on the fact that, and they didn't mind calling it Christmas because of all the money that the retailers made about it. But now our society's become so liberal, they don't even want to call it Christmas anymore. The public schools don't want to have Christmas programs anymore. They want to have a winter pageant. Or a winter celebration. Well, we're going to celebrate Christmas. We're going to talk about Jesus. And even the songs. Listen, we're going to sing the songs about the birth of Christ, and we're going to sing the Christmas songs. And let's never let it become to where all those ditties in the world. And yeah, I know there's cute little songs, and I'm not against all those cute little songs. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes I'm watching Christians get so many of the cute little Christmas songs about all the silly little stuff that goes on in the world, and then we stop singing the songs about the birth of Jesus Christ. That shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. And so may I say, first of all, the wise men had the right idea. They made Jesus the center attraction. It was all about Jesus. They made sure that Jesus was recognized and that Jesus was exalted and Jesus was uplifted and that Jesus was glorified. What they did, they did it for Jesus Christ and they gave to Jesus. Now, they may have given other gifts. I wouldn't doubt that they gave something to Mary or to Joseph. That's a very kind and appropriate thing. You and I can go visit someone and take them some little gift when we go. We had some folks that, Mrs. Owens and I, if sometimes we'll go visit someone and there didn't have to be a birthday or anything, but we wouldn't give a little gift to our host. Now, I could picture the wise men give something to Mary and give something to Joseph, but I'll promise you, it is very clear that Jesus received frankincense and myrrh and treasures because Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus Christ. Secondly, Christmas is not about receiving. Don't forget that. Christmas is not about what we get. The Bible says in John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the whole book, "For God so loved the world that He gave." Now, this is a season, and I believe all seasons are seasons where we should love one another, but in a special way, we are to love people and we are to express love. And the Bible says God so loved and that He gave. You can give to someone and maybe not love them, but I'll tell you this, if you love them, you're going to give to them. That's just bottom line. And God is a giver and Jesus is a giver. Now, be careful. Can I tell you how to get upset at Christmas time? Expect something. Just expect something. All you have to do is have expectation. Did you know that if you didn't expect anything and you didn't get anything, then you couldn't be disappointed? But if you expect something and you don't get it, you're going to be disappointed. Something my wife does, and she kind of stays on me about this, our grandchildren. If we send our grandchildren a little package and it's one of their birthdays, you know what she always does? If one of them is having a birthday, she'll send the primary gift to that one that's having the birthday. But she always includes a little gift for the other. Can I tell you why? A wee little one wouldn't understand maybe one person getting a gift where someone else wouldn't. But that's because they're babies still. Y'all do know what Christmas is all about. Have you lost track? It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus Christ. And Mrs. Owen said, a little one, they're not going to understand. An immature one would be hurt, would be offended that big brother got a gift, but little sister did not get the gift. So she includes that because she's catering to the immaturity, if you will. She's catering to the one that is not grown up yet. But folks, the people under the sound of my voice, you're not babies anymore. And so when you go into the Christmas season, remember, it's not a season where we should expect to receive. Be careful expecting to receive from your boss. They better give me a bonus. They ought to give Jesus a bonus. Young people, what do you expect to get from your parents? Did you know it's not your birthday? Parents, I'm helping you now. Husbands, you say, well, I wonder what my wife's going to give me. Or wives, I wonder what my husband's going to give me. And let me tell you, I think we ought to give things to each other. I think it's a wonderful thing. But it's when you expect it. When it's virtually required. Oh my. You know, the happiest people at Christmas are the ones who ignore the receiving part. Just ignore that receiving part. Don't allow yourself to... And folks, if you want to be happy in life, don't depend on everybody else for your joy. You say, I want to be happy, so I hope I get what I want. I'm sorry, you're in for disappointment. What you need to do is if you'll be made happy by giving, and if you'll give, then you can be happy because you gave. But if you're going to be made happy by getting, and you don't get what you want, you're going to have a disappointment. And the little ones, it doesn't matter if I say this, they're going to go through it anyway. The preacher's telling them, don't have a list of all the things you've got to have to be happy. And they're not going to get everything on their list. And I can remember when I was little, I knew that I shouldn't be expecting anything particular, but I did expect it and I did want it and I was counting on it. And I was looking at the boxes trying to figure out, is that in that package, that thing that I want? And if I didn't get it, there were times when I pouted and I didn't handle it right. But you know something? I'm now 55 years of age. I think I should be grown up enough to realize that Christmas is not about me. And you know, you don't have to be 55 to realize that. I realized it's a couple years ago when I realized it. But just realize the shepherds had the right idea. They kept Jesus as the focal point. And remember that Christmas is not all about receiving. My next point is obvious and very simple. Christmas is all about Jesus and it's all about giving. You keep Jesus first. That's what it's all about. Let's keep Jesus at the top of our thought list and our intentions list and all of it. Then Christmas is, I think, then about giving. He's the great example of it. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. And God tells us that giving is a good thing. God gave us His Son. What a great gift. The wise men were givers. The shepherds were givers. Thank God Mary gave of herself. Thank God. And in the story, Joseph, he gave of himself. He gave of himself when they went through that process where Mary was carrying the Christ child. There was a trust and there was a dignity that was kept in the relationship because Joseph gave of himself. And Jesus came and he gave of himself. Thank God for the giving that goes on. And again, I think that Christmas is a time of giving. I don't think that's a bad thing. But I think it becomes a bad thing if everybody gets attention but Jesus. I think it becomes a bad thing when we require that we receive. I think it's a bad thing when receiving takes the priority over giving. I think we've corrupted what the season is really all about. So let's keep Christmas what Christmas ought to be. Now, Mrs. Owens and I, we have a Christmas list. And what we do is we've got a little spiral notebook that we use. We write the names of the children and the grandchildren, and we have a budgeted amount that we spend. It's predetermined before we go into the Christmas shopping. We spend the same amount on every grandchild. We spend the same amount then on each adult. And we're very fair about it. We show no favoritism. By the way, there's so many people hurt because of favoritism and the way, and so you all know you can't buy someone's love, and buying them an expensive gift doesn't make up for the fact that you're not really cared about them the rest of the year. But that's how we handle it. We set a limit and we spend that amount. You know, most people that prepare a Christmas list have never thought about putting Jesus on that list. And I think he deserves attention. You say, well, what in the world could you give Jesus? He has it all. Well, I could give you some things, and since you ask, let me give you a couple of things that you could give Jesus. We could, for Jesus' sake, maybe take some sin out of our life. We're going to make him the priority in our life. What would happen if we went to him and said, you know, Jesus, I've gossiped and I've misused my tongue, and I'm going to make sure I get that under control. Maybe you ought to go to him and confess your pride and say, Lord, I am so sorry, and I feel like I want to give you something that would honor you. Or maybe it's some vice, booze or cigarettes or pornography or hatred in your life, but you could give to Jesus. Hey, I'll tell you something that he would be very honored with. Maybe you ought to win someone to Jesus Christ. Wow. I mean, that's why he came. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. He was born of a virgin, and all this was a part of the great plan so we could have the gospel, but he came so man might live. What would happen if all the Christians in the world, for the sake of Jesus Christ at Christmas time, would decide to get some people saved? You could maybe you ought to grab up 100 gospel tracts and just say, I'm going to give all these out in honor of Jesus for the sake of Christmas for Jesus Christ. Somebody here ought to maybe at lunch at work take the time to witness to somebody that you work with and tell them about Jesus Christ. You know, I had a college teacher. His name was Dr. Carl Laurent. And he was just a great guy. Every year at Christmas time, Dr. Laurent would make a commitment to win so many people to Christ for Jesus. The last year that he was alive, I think his goal was right at 400 people. He started at the beginning of December, and he would work at it and work at it. Now, he would go on the streets of Chicago, and let me tell you, there are millions of people in Chicago, but he would go on the streets of Chicago, and he would get up early in the morning. He would take his Saturdays. He would take Sunday afternoon, and usually by Christmas morning, he will have reached his goal and the number of people that he wanted to win to Jesus Christ. Dr. Laurent, some years ago, passed away and went to heaven, but he and I were very, very dear friends, and every year at Christmas time, he would tell me, he said, I'm giving Jesus 300 souls for Christmas this year. I'm giving Jesus 150 people at Christmas this year. You say, oh, that sounds kind of silly. No, I'm sorry. The stuff that we do is silly. That would please Jesus Christ. You put him on your Christmas list, what do? Maybe you take something out of your life, and as a gift, you commit a holiness to him. Maybe you could win some souls for him. If you're not saved and you're here tonight, maybe you ought to get saved. You give him the gift of your trust and your faith. You give him your soul for all eternity. Oh, he'd be pleased with that. That'd be a wonderful gift. What could you give Jesus Christ? You say, he's the one that's got it all. Well, does he have your faithfulness to church? Maybe somebody this Christmas season ought to say, you know what? I am going to make a commitment to God. I'm going to stop coming up with petty excuses as to why I'm not faithful to church. I'm going to be in Sunday school. I'm going to be in church on Sunday, and I'm going to be in church on Sunday night, and I'm going to be in church on Wednesday night. And when there are special meetings, I'm just going to be there. You know that you could give Jesus Christ a new commitment to your faithfulness. You say, what are we going to give Jesus? Well, let's give him our faithfulness. Let's decide to be in church. It's his church. It was bought with his blood. He's the one that created this whole deal. And we ought to be concerned. And when I got to thinking about what can I give him, I'd like to give him something he might enjoy. Now, sometimes you go shopping and you just want to get it over with. See, I just want to get him something to get it in a package, get a tag on it, and get this over with. But you know the gifts that really count? It's when you think about what they need and you work at getting them something that they could really use, that's really a blessing to them, that person, you are doing something for them that they approve of, that they want, that they would like. You know, and we work at that. You know, when I shop for Mrs. Owens, and Mrs. Owens and I, we enjoy doing things for one another. We enjoy giving one another gifts. But I'll tell you, when I do something for her for Christmas, I don't try to just get it over with. Now, I want to work at it. I want her to be pleased with it. And I want her to like it. And the truth is, and she always accommodates. I like her to say, I like that. Matter of fact, I'd like to have some more of that. Wouldn't it be great if you gave Jesus something for Christmas and he said, I like that? Matter of fact, I wish I'd get some more of that. I wish others would give me that. Well, I'll guarantee you that if you'd get sin out of your life, Jesus would say, I like that. That's a good gift. If you would win souls to Jesus, he would say, I like that. I'll take all that. I will never get tired of that. If we would be faithful and make a commitment of faithfulness as a gift to Jesus for Christmas, I promise you, he'd say, I'll take all that you give me. I'll take that. I wish everybody would give me souls and everybody would give me their faithfulness. And when I talk about faithfulness, folks, you know, we live in a bit of an anemic world. People almost looking for excuses not to be faithful to God. We can justify the silliest little reasons as to why we're not where we're supposed to be for God. Now, what else could we give Jesus? Maybe it ought to be we give ourselves in a way where we get more involved in God's work, get more involved around the church. Now, let me tell you something. If you say, you know what, that's what I want. I want to give Jesus Christ the gift of me getting more involved in church and getting involved in the ministries of the church. I don't want to just be a spectator. I don't want to just come in and sit and watch. I want to be a part. I want to actually serve God in the ministries of the church. Now, let me warn you. To do that, there's certain things that you ought to do to be a good example. You know, we don't just give you a Sunday school class because you want one. We give you one because you've proven that you're going to be faithful to God and you're going to live a decent life. You don't have to be perfect to be a Sunday school teacher, but you need to love God. You need to be faithful to church. You need to separate from the world. You're a role model. You become an example. But you know what some of you could do? You could say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to clean my life up enough that I could be used in certain positions at the church. Now, you can't demand those positions. I know the guy that runs this joint around here, you ain't going to demand anything of him. God, we get our orders from headquarters, and God will tell us. But if we cleaned our life up enough to where God could use us, I'm just sure that's going to be noticed. If we're faithful enough that it is noticed, God will recognize that. God will figure out a way for us to have places of service in the church. There's people in here, you ought to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do what it takes to qualify to be a worker, maybe on Brother Tom Reap Summers' new bus route. And I want to go out there and I want to serve God and I want to work on that bus route. But I'll do whatever I have to clean up my life because I'm going to do it for Jesus. I'm going to do it for the cause of Jesus Christ. It's Christmas. And I've decided for Christmas this year, I'm going to give Jesus a gift, and it's going to be a change in my life that will qualify me to be a Sunday school teacher, or a change in my life that would qualify me to be a bus worker, or a change in my life that would qualify me to sing in the choir, or a change in my life that would qualify me to get involved in one of these ministries around here, where I could be a worker in Youth Ablaze, or King's Kids, or the Flyers Club, or I could work in the Tiny Tots Choir, or Children's Choir, or Teen Choir. I could get involved in the music ministry. Folks, we ought to be giving ourselves to Jesus Christ. And this is a good time of the year for it. There are all sorts of ways of serving God. And when it's Christmas time, we don't have to wrap the gift that we give to Jesus. But what would happen if everybody decided this year at Christmas, I'll put Jesus on my Christmas list. I'll take something that I need to take out of my life, some sin out of my life as a commitment to Him. I'm going to win some souls. I'm going to be faithful to church like never before. I'm going to get involved and straighten up my life so He can use me. Obviously then, maybe somebody needs to rededicate your life. You know, you used to be involved. Matter of fact, most of your stories are used to be stories. You used to be on fire for God. You used to win souls. You used to go soul winning. You used to work a bus route. Maybe somebody needs to rededicate their life. You just need to say, you know, God, I've been on the sideline for a while here. I used to be far more excited. I used to be more committed to you. But for Christmas, I'm going to get this thing straightened out. And I'm going to rededicate myself to the cause of Jesus Christ. Of course, we could give of ourselves financially. Now, we are all, I wish I could say to you that you could give Jesus the gift of beginning to tithe, but just so you know, I'm not real sure that'd be a gift, because that's really already His. That would be you just getting your thievery all straightened out. Because if you're not tithing, you're stealing the tithe. But, you know, we could give, we could decide, I'll give financially above my tithe. I could give a Christmas gift in the offering, or I could give a gift toward the bus ministry financially, or I could give a little extra in my missions giving toward the ministry. And I'm not trying to raise funds for the church. I'm just trying to say to you what we can do. I think all of us ought to look at Christmas, and we ought to take a good look at it and say, you know, am I going to do anything for Jesus? Am I going to celebrate it like the world, where we just go along with the hoopla of the world, and we sing their songs and we act like them, and Jesus is the birthday boy, but He doesn't get anything out of me? And some of these things that I've mentioned, they don't have to cost you anything. Taking a sin out of your life is not going to cost you money. There are certain things that I've mentioned that it doesn't have to be a financial thing, but it could be. It could be something financial. I was thinking that we try to make it so you could do a little something extra at the church. A couple years ago, we took a special Christmas offering. Now, this year, we have the Christmas tree out here with the gift suggestions for King's Kids and the gift suggestion for Flyers Club. Believe me, those things will be a blessing. And one of the wonderful things about it, many of you have children in those ministries. So once you give to that, you're turning around and really giving to the benefit of your own child and for the cause of Jesus Christ. But those are wonderful things to do. You know, if you went to a birthday party that was for your child, and wonder if everybody at that party got a gift except for your child, and you were told the party was for them. As a parent, could you find yourself put out with everybody? How tragic. You go to a birthday party, you're told it's for your child, and everybody there exchanged gifts, and they all got gifts except for your child. Well, how do you think the Heavenly Father feels? When Jesus Christ, everybody's all talking about His birthday, and everybody gets something except for the birthday boy. And I think sometimes we're so earthly-minded, we don't see the heavenly concept. I wonder if God the Father looks down and says, what are you all doing? You're just merely taking advantage of my son's birth to have a month of party time so you can all get things from each other. What about my boy? And boy, did he set the example for us. I'll tell you one thing. I'll tell you one thing that he'd really like to have. He'd like to have you. Ask you a question, I'm finished. Does God have all of you? You have a form of godliness, but really, in your life, you're denying the power thereof. You want to really give yourself? You want to give Jesus something He really wants? He wants you. I'll tell you a quick story. I've told it before, but I want you to hear it because it applies to that last point. He wants you. There was a man ringing a bell at a Salvation Army bucket. An old bum was walking up the street. And the man that was ringing that bell, he was with the Salvation Army, ringing that bell, and he said, "What will you give Jesus today? What will you give Jesus?" The old bum walked by, looked, got in his dirty old pair of pants and pulled out a quarter, a dime, and a nickel. He took that nickel and he tossed it in that bucket. He was very proud of himself. And big piece of what he had. And the bum walked on by and the Salvation Army man began ringing his bell again. "What will you give Jesus today? What will you give Jesus?" Well, the bum stuck his hand back in his pocket and he realized he had a quarter and a dime left. And he took that dime and he walked back and he threw his dime in the bucket too. Salvation Army person kept ringing their bell and the bum walked on past. The Salvation Army fellow thought, or the bum thought, "Yeah, I still have that quarter." He went back and took his last quarter and stuck it in the bucket. And the man began to ring his bell again. It got cold, and the man that was ringing the bell went in a store to warm up. When the man came out after warming his hands, he looked over at the big Salvation Army kettle and setting in it was that bum. That is what Jesus wants most. He wants you. Does Jesus have your heart? What will you give Jesus? What will you give Jesus today, Christian? If He doesn't have your heart, could I recommend you put Him on your Christmas list? And you give Him what He wants. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved, I wish you'd get saved. Let's just all make sure that this Christmas season we keep the proper focus. Go ahead and have fun, enjoy the season, but let's keep Jesus in the center of the attention of this Christmas season. Maybe you even tonight ought to say, "You know what? God really doesn't have my heart. I've retracted some of it, but I'm willing to give Jesus my heart. I think I could make that my Christmas gift to Him this year, and I will do my best. Give Him my heart. Give Him my all." We're going to have an altar call in a second. I'll have the pianist begin to play. After she begins to play, we'll stand. Think about it. Maybe you ought to come and pray about what you could give Jesus this year. You don't need to tell me. I don't have to know. But maybe you ought to come up here and pray and say, "Lord, I'm giving up a sin in my life, something that's got to be gotten out of my life." Maybe you need to come up here. Maybe it's a monetary gift that you want to give Him. Maybe it's the souls of men. Maybe you're going to say, "I'm just going to win a bunch of people to Jesus." Maybe it's bringing visitors to church. You say, "I'm just going to bring a bunch of people to God's house, and I'm going to commit that to Him for Christmas." Folks, just remember, while we're busy getting and giving, this is really not all about us. It's about Jesus. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Maybe you need to come and pray and say, "Lord, what would you have me do? What would you like from me for Christmas? What could I do for you, Jesus, for Christmas?" I'll tell you, He would be thrilled if you gave Him your heart, lock, stock, and barrel. The whole thing. Where you said, "No holds barred. You can have all of me. You can have it all." "What will you give Jesus today?" said the Salvation Army man. "What will you give Jesus?" The old bum gave what he could, gave all that he had, then realized, "I'll just give myself. What will you give Jesus today? He is the reason for this season. And while we're busy enjoying it and time off work and bonuses and the exchanging of gifts, let's keep Him the focal point, the center point in it all. One last time through the song, we'll pray and we'll be on our way. Right this way.